Have you ever wondered how a song is made? How it starts? What happens during the recording process? How does an idea become that beautiful 3-minute thing you hear on the radio? My name is Emmeline, and in Journey of a Song, I take you on a tour of a musician's creative process, from the very first notes to the final, fully produced progression. As a singer-songwriter and an independent recording artist, I am intimately familiar with the magic of music creation, but I also know that each song has its own sacred story. Each week, I'll be talking to a different songwriter as they pull back the curtain on a favorite composition, beginning with the acoustic version of the song and ending with the final recorded product. In between, you'll hear a conversation about the inspiration behind the song, the decisions made in the recording booth, and the many ways in which music reflects and informs our emotions and our lives. This week, my guest is the energetic, enduring punk pop artist Glitter. A veteran of the music industry, Glitter got her start as the frontwoman of a band called Hollywood High. She later moved out to Los Angeles to pursue a career in country rock music as Glitter Rose. Glitter chose to return to Dallas during the pandemic and continued to write deeply personal music that finally felt and sounded like her. A songwriter at heart, Glitter chose to form a completely new project titled simply Glitter. She's here today to discuss the song that started the most authentic phase of her career, Pretend Love. Welcome back to Journey of a Song. I'm your host, Emmeline, and I'm super excited for today's episode because I have with me the legendary Glitter. How are you?
Oh my gosh, what a big intro. Thank you. I'm great. How are you, Emmeline?
I'm wonderful. I'm so excited to have you on because you and I have been friends for a long time. You were actually one of the first people I met when I started playing, because you were hosting the beautiful open mic at Port David's Pub at the time.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that was a journey. And yeah, it was awesome to get to see you kind of get started on your stages. That's cool.
Well, and so cool to see how you've evolved as a musician. I think that's the gift we all get to give each other when we kind of grow up in the space together is, you know, we get to see how everyone evolves. And it's been so neat to watch you step into this new project. I'm so excited to talk about Pretend Love.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it is a really awesome journey. And I love that the Dallas community, even though I haven't been here through my whole journey, it's always kind of embraced me back. And my you know, closest music friends are always, you know, from this area. So it is very special. So thank you. And I'm really excited about the new stuff too. So thanks.
You're quite welcome. Well, before we get too deep into it, we're going to let our audience hear the acoustic version of your brand new single, Pretend Love, now.
Stop saying you love me. You say it all the damn time. Stop crying over me. I'm sorry, baby, but this is crazy. I'm all depressed and feeling guilty. When I'm not doing nothing shady, I know you're mine, but I feel cheated, clearly defeated, and played the whole time. It's not really love if it's not enough to fill in the blanks where my heart is. And being a fool has never been cool. That's what you get.
Pretend love, pretend love, pretend love. beautiful. I love this song. It's so cool to hear it acoustically.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was definitely a turning point for me as an artist. So yeah, it's a special one. So thank you. I'm glad we're talking about it.
Me too. So just to position for people who might not know who Glitter is, you initially came onto the scene as Glitter Rose and had some like rock country that you were doing. But this has been a totally different musical direction for you. Can you talk a little bit about the decision to change direction?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's been a really awesome journey. So even prior to the Glitter Rose project, kind of my solo Southern rock country kind of thing. I also had a rock band called Hollywood High, which was kind of my Deep Ellum days when I was in high school and in that era. So yeah, I've definitely evolved over time, but Glitter Rose was my primary project. I really started performing, doing that style of music. I was about 2021 when I really started like establishing that name and brand. And at the time I worked with a manager that had been by my side since I was a kid, family friend, didn't really come from a music background, but wanted to help. So, that kind of turned into, a really interesting relationship over the years, but she continued to manage me for a long time. Glitter Rose, was kind of a mashup of kind of what she would have maybe done as a musician or artist and kind of things that I was good at doing. So I was really good at writing country tunes and kind of just shaking it up, Johnny Cash style guitar, doing some like outlaw style country. It was really easy. It kind of came off the cuff for me. So I think the ease of writing that made it very easy to just become that, especially when the influence in my life really enjoyed that image and that style. So, I kind of continued that theme, and as it was doing well and, you know, we were, I was building, it just kind of, I got kind of caught up in this whirlwind of a image and person that wasn't quite authentic. And at one point I wasn't really having the room to even evolve out of that character. So it got to a point where even when I would kind of try to step into a new genre or style or anything of that sort, it was a bit of a struggle, a little bit too much drama on the back end to really want to even really think about it too much. So it's just kind of like, okay, I'll just keep doing this. But that kind of started filtering its way out. I was in my mid to late 20s. I moved out to Los Angeles. As you said, we met when I was doing the open mic at Port David's Pub. That was a really big time for me and awesome time because I got to meet all you guys. I got to see talent just grow and explode and nurture it. I mean, I'll never forget the first time, you know, Charlie Crockett came in and did, you know, his first open mic, and all these other people that I'm now seeing do all these successful things, run studios, everything else. And just like yourself, you know, so it was an awesome time. And right at the end of that is when I moved out to Los Angeles with my manager, pursuing, you know, Glitter Rose and the Southern rock kind of thing. There is when we kind of came to terms of that this is not who I am. Well, I say we, this is when I and Glitter and quote unquote Glitter Rose, me and my persona came to terms with it wasn't authentically me. So, I had to seek some help in coping with the idea of that I had to approach someone who I cared about and loved and someone who nurtured this persona and this character as a musician, to tell them like I kind of needed to not do that anymore. So it was a process. It was a lot. I did a lot of discovery and ripping Band-Aids off and healing while I lived in LA. Which is interesting because it's a crazy city all in its own. But that through all that, I met my husband. We got married before we moved back to Dallas, met some of my best friends in the world, worked on their independent films, writing music for them. It just it was just such an incredibly positive experience in so many ways, because I grew into myself and I was finally able to, number one, not feel guilty to change, number one. And then number two, let myself evolve, even though some people might think once you're 30, 31, that you're kind of, you are who you are. But I just don't think that's the case for anyone. I think we always evolve. We evolve every year, every second of our life. So I just tried to take a different approach of, you know, this is maybe just me finally being born, or at least acknowledging what I was born to be. So, yeah, so it was quite a journey. And then I went through a little writer's block, and then Pretend Love came. So that's kind of how we ended up to Pretend Love.
That's, so this was sort of the song that ended the drought.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
That's such a beautiful thing. I really appreciate a couple things that you said that I want to highlight. First of all, I think it's so, you and I talked offline about this, but I think it's so important for artists to feel the freedom to evolve.
Yeah. Because, absolutely.
I mean, God help us if our lives are over and our personalities are set at 30 and 31. Like, that's a long time to be on this earth without change, right? Like, people are living into their 80s and 90s these days. Can you imagine? Like,
yeah,
60
absolutely.
Years is a long time to be the same person. Ideally, we're always changing. Yeah. And music kind of gives us that permission to step more deeply into who we are, because it, you know, there are conversations we can have in songs that we can't have face to face all the time. And it sounds like this, like, Pretend Love was sort of that for you, that it was a song that you had a conversation within that you couldn't necessarily have face to face.
Yeah, that's so like blatantly true that it's kind of scary. But yeah, that's exactly what Pretend Love is. It was a very intimate conversation I needed to have. And the only way I knew how to speak it out was through music, because that's what I love. And this was just the first time that the music came out and the melody came out where I was like, hey, this isn't a country song. This isn't something that I don't feel like is me. I actually feel like this is all the things that I love embodied in this little 3-minute tune.
Well, so, you have sonically, there's so many cool things going on. But I also want to highlight the courage that it takes after so many years of doing this thing that you refer to as quote unquote easy for you, mm-hmm. to suddenly strip away some of that gloss and let the music represent like the scary, vulnerable core of who you are. That's a scary thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, it was a big decision for me when I said, okay, I'm going to completely rebrand myself from the ground up. I'm leaving it all behind. It's still me. I'm proud of it, but I want to start over. And I was really scared to do that. I mean, I literally started over from, you know, my thousands of followers down to zero and started all over again, because it's just, it's what I felt I truly needed to do inside to be authentic to, not just my music, but just me as a person, to feel happy and feel fulfilled, to know that the people that are following what I do now truly like what I do now. And they're not just following it because I am who I am. If somebody truly likes that, they'll come to the next thing and the next. So it was kind of one of those things where I really wanted to separate that, not stigma, but that, I don't know what the word would be to say it, but just separating, you know, the influence of outside factors other than the music is kind of what I was trying to do with that. So
it sounds like you sort of did a pre-rejection almost, right? Because we're always scared when we put out something new that the audience is going to be like, oh, this is different.
Yes.
I really miss her country. You know, like, I really miss Hollywood High. Why isn't this Hollywood High? Like, there's always a fear. Yeah. Even when you put out one record that is a natural evolution from another record, it's scary to put out something that's going to sound even a little bit different. But it sounds like what you did was you said, I know this is going to be different. I know it's possible that people aren't going to like this. So rather than kind of force them to follow me, I'm not going to put that emotional weight on myself. I'm not going to put that emotional weight on them. I'm just going to start over.
Yeah.
And if they want to follow, they will.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what I did. And it was really scary to do it, but it also was so refreshing and it made everything really exciting again. Whereas I've played music live and recorded since I was 13. So, you know, now I'm not going to say I'm an old lady, but I'm definitely climbing into some territory where it's been a long time I've played music. Yeah, it felt very refreshing to get the excitement of starting over again. And also in a whole new era of the way music is consumed, because I started putting out music long before social media was even a thing. So, I mean, my first MySpace account was at the end of my rock band's era. So it was, we flyered streets and sold CDs. So, and we handed CDs to radio DJs. So it was, and I'm so grateful that I got that experience, you know? But it was really cool to not have to try to hold on to all that and catch up with the new age. It was just so nice to just cut it off and start over, which I think, you know, we do get scared to do that. I think in a lot of ways in our lives, not just our as musicians or songwriters, but I think people in general. And I think just not being afraid to start over is such a liberating thought. And I think if more people could embrace that, I really feel like their relationships would be stronger, that everything overall, because you just feel more of a sense of closure, I guess, when you know that you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I love that you talk about how important it is to know that you can start over. I think Kathy Heller is a sync specialist who also does like online coaching. And one of the things that she says all the time in her workshops is, what would you do if you weren't afraid? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of those questions that, you know, on the surface, we're like, go skydiving, you know, but then when you think about it more deeply, you realize I would release more personal music.
Yeah.
I would do the unsafe thing. I mm-hmm. would not worry so much about a safety net. I would let go of the negative people in my life that I feel like I have to keep holding in there.
Yes.
And those are such difficult changes to make. But it sounds like for you, having swallowed the fear, or, you know, danced with the fear, I guess, and done it anyway. Yeah. It's been such a rewarding journey.
Yeah, it has. I mean, it's always hard when you're pursuing a passion because you're really emotionally attached and involved with what you do. And I've heard you say this before, we wouldn't go through the trauma of releasing music unless we wanted people to hear it. We want people to embrace it and make it their own. So we take that on. I think it's part of the process, I like how you said dance with fear, because the fear was definitely still there. But it just kind of was like, okay, well, let's just ride with it and see what happens. That was really the most interesting part of this whole process, more than writing new songs, more than, you know, meeting up with new musicians, was just that, like, the plunge into the next new thing that I haven't done before. That's really that's been the liberating factor of this project. And it's probably because I didn't have the chance to do that as much in younger years when pursuing it. But whatever the reason, I think it's a good thing for anyone, if they're feeling the itch, to go for it.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what Pretend Love is about, is you acknowledging the difference between real and fake and allowing yourself to make that acknowledgement. Because I feel like that's a disconnect that a lot of us feel in our hearts, maybe, but don't allow ourselves to speak.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Excuse me. Yeah. So Pretend Love is totally about that. It's about, you know, people may say things to you. Do they actually mean those things? You say things to other people. Do you actually mean those things? Are you being reactive to a situation, or is it truly how you feel? And those were all the questions that I was asking myself when I wrote that song. So, it is just that. It's kind of like dealing with, you know, understanding what's real and what's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's I love how whimsical the music video is. We're gonna link the video in the show notes for anybody who hasn't seen it. It's super fun. It stars some of Dallas's up and coming ladies,
Yes.
Remy Riley and Amy Kathleen. But I think one of the coolest things about it is you kind of have to dig for the deeper, right? Like the video
Yes.
is whimsical and so much fun, and you've got these super cool harmonies that come in that people are going to get to hear, and the backing vocals feel like a really nice marriage between like 50s doo-wop and current pop.
Nice, thanks. Yeah, for sure. That was definitely a direction.
Yeah, you've got a lot of really neat elements that you've managed to marry in a way that feels very organic.
Cool. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in when they get to hear the recording, I do have to credit a lot of that to number one, the band. The band, I hooked up with these guys when I moved back to Dallas, and it just was like, again, like everything else. I was like, I'm just gonna kind of let it happen, see what happens. And these guys, Jett Raines on keys, David Crandall on the bass, and Mac Bain on drums. All just kind of came together, and their vibes were just really syncing up beautifully with what I was trying to deliver. So they just really understand the music, which is so cool to find musicians that get it. And then Salim Nirala and John Dufalo actually produced the upcoming EP, and I have to credit a lot of all of that to them as well, especially Salim. He had a lot of really keen ears on certain parts that really brought out that kind of really summer chill vibey cute funness that is in it. So yeah, that was a fun process when we got to bringing the essence of the song to life.
Yeah, and I think the ease of the music of this is such a great metaphor because it sounds like this song came from a really scary place. But once you
Yeah,
stepped into the,
it
but once you stepped into that scary place, things started to feel easy.
Yes, exactly.
And
Yes.
so musically, like you're talking about this really difficult thing, but having made the jump, having acknowledged the scary thing, having said out loud, no, this is not real, like this is not authentic.
Yeah.
Once you make that acknowledgement, the dominoes started to fall. And then it
Yeah.
was a little bit easier. You found these great guys you enjoy playing with.
Yep.
You found Salim and John Dufalo, who are able to sort of enhance that easy vibe in a
Yeah.
way that felt natural and organic. And I think that's
Yes.
such a great message, not only for songwriters who are listening, who are thinking, oh gosh, like how do I step into my truest self and not be terrified that people are going to reject that? But also for people who are living life, because we do live in a society that is so curated. You and I were talking about the social media curve and how hard it has gotten over the course of our time as live musicians. But we live in a society where you're constantly seeing everybody's highlight reel, and that puts a lot of pressure on us.
It
And we
does.
put a lot of that pressure on ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you feel like you have to keep up. And it's there's a fine line between putting the effort in to do your job well, because I mean, we've taken this on as a type of job, the fact that we want to share it with the world and we put out records and so on and so forth. So you want to do well, but you also don't want to lose yourself in keeping up with the Joneses and just putting things out that aren't really you just because you're trying to fit into a mold. And for me, it's always been a fine line because I never liked fitting into boxes or molds, which is one of the reasons why all of my music styles I've ever done are very mashed up. Like it, nothing's ever been like, okay, you're a straight rock artist or you're a straight country artist or you're straight pop. It's never that way. It's always very mashed up. So I've always had a hard time with that because when I have had bigger opportunities with, labels, contests, things like that, it's always had to be a change in who you authentically are. Even in my times when I wasn't being my most authentic self, I was still going to have to be less authentic than I currently was. So I think we do have to be careful, especially as independent artists, to not pressure ourselves to try to keep up with what society is telling us we should be doing as independent musicians. And you know, things like Spotify. It's a love-hate relationship, right? Like, I love that I discover new talent on Spotify. It's amazing. I get to discover people I wouldn't discover in other ways. And then at the same time, as artists, we see nothing anymore, you know, but we're spreading our music around. So it's like, you have to decide what is it that makes you happy about it. For me, it is just spreading the music around and people just hearing it, which is probably why I'm less concerned with, you know, having the most successful TikTok, because even though I know that might be the avenue to get your song like a million reels or TikToks, it's a lot of extra that I feel like I could be putting to my fans in different ways, to where the people that'll actually enjoy the music will get to hear it in different avenues. So I think as indies, we just have to be really careful to just, like, you know, center, take a second, breathe, think about it. If you have something cool to put out there, put it out. Try to do something cool at least once a week. And, you know, I think you're okay. But yeah, it's a it's quite a tumble down the music slide. So you know, we just have to find that balance. And, you know, there, a lot of that has to do with just, you know, being healthy mentally and continuing to write and do what feels right. And just, yeah, it's a journey.
It's a journey. That's exactly right. That's where the title of the podcast came from.
Yeah.
But I think that's such an important message too, that, you know, it's a balancing act. Yeah. And it's a daily balancing act. And some days you're mm-hmm. going to get it right, and some days you're going to get it wrong. And yeah, you get better at it as you go, but you're always going to be balancing.
Yeah, and absolutely.
So you are making, you know, you're making sacrifices in some ways. You're making mm-hmm. gains in others. And yeah, you have to sort of recognize that, yeah, part of what you do is the juggling. And yes, I have to give you a shout out. You are one of the best artists I've ever seen when it comes to communicating with fans. Like, you are so beautifully regular with your email list. It's great. You've got content that engages people. You have these wonderful shows. So it's clear that the relationship between you and the people who listen to your music is super important to you.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, it is. It is really important. I have some people that have followed my music, now for 20 years, which is pretty incredible. I mean, I have a fan. I mean, I have one fan in particular. I've known him since he was 6 years old, and he now comes to my shows as an adult. So it's incredible to make that kind of impact on people. And that's why I think, especially again, as independent artists, we just have to remember that just because we're not on a major label, just because we don't have the biggest, you know, following or TikToks or YouTube views, whatever we're looking for, that's not always the best way to connect with somebody that's going to truly love your music. So you just have to do the things you're able to do and make an effort, of course. You know, I don't want to do anything in life where I'm not trying. You know, you have to try. I mean, that's part of the reward, you know? So if you're trying and you're connecting with people, you just got to find that balance of who truly loves what you do and nurture them. You know, and that's what I try to do with when we book shows, when we do events, anything like that. I try to do things that are going to make people want to come. I don't want to just be like, yeah, we're just going to pop up here and play whatever. Like, I want it to be cool places so people can have a good time. And I want to be able to, you know, hang out afterwards or things like that, because those relationships are truly, I think, where the music impacts people the most, is when they don't just feel connected to you musically, but they feel connected to you personally, where maybe them coming to your show is literally the thing that's going to make their day better or their weekend awesome or whatever it is. And over the years, knowing that I've done that for people is such a driving force. It is important to me to stay connected and try to make things fun and exciting for them.
Yeah. And I don't know, I feel like there are moments, right, as artists where we like look at our Spotify report or we get our, you know, earnings statement from like TuneCore CD Baby and we're like, cool.
Why am I doing this?
Yeah, exactly. Where the fact that you've made an impact on people, the fact that there are people that love your music, the fact that there are people that really do resonate with what you're doing, or that you have written a song that said how they were feeling better than they could. Like, those are moments that for me make me forget about the Spotify report, or yes, forget about, you know, how little we earn from YouTube. It reminds us why we do what we do. And we have this unique job, and that connection is how we keep our job.
Yes, 100%. Exactly. If we, I think, you know, if we just want to play in our bedroom for ourselves, and that's therapy, that's awesome. And then there's some of us that want more. We want our stories to help other people. Yeah. So, you know, if that's what we decide that we want to do, that's what you got to do. You got to respect them as much as they respect you. So I think it's a mutual thing for sure.
And it sounds like that's been something that's been consistent for you throughout your career, is this desire to stay connected, because you've gone through these iterations, but you go through the difficult work of reinventing yourself. You go through the difficult work of trying to stay authentic, trying to find balance, trying to find a place that feels good to you so that you can stay connected, so that you can maintain that connection and continue to make an impact.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's you're reading me well here, but yes. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's the same reason why I always want to do something like Songwriters in the Round, or before when I hosted open mic at Poor David's. That's a need for me musically too, is to have a platform to help and highlight other songwriters.
Yes.
Because number one, that's inspiring to me. I get to learn about so much new music and get to meet so many awesome people. And number two, I just feel like more artists need a hype man too. And I feel like that's where, you know, like you doing what you do with this podcast for writers, we need more artists that are hype men for other artists, on an independent level. And I think we're lucky in Dallas. We have a lot of inner support, that I feel has gotten stronger over the years. When I was a kid, I didn't feel as embraced as I do now in my later years. And it could just be different times in life, different people, but a lot of the same musicians and writers and things that I worked with that many years ago are kind of still in the scene, and we still loop around and have that support system. And it's just grown with time. And I think that's amazing. I've always had a really special place in my heart for the Dallas scene. Even I consider Texas home, but I was born in California. But the reason I do consider Texas home is just that, like, it was my musical beginnings, and it's also just where I feel the most connected. And I love Los Angeles. I have a really intimate relationship with Los Angeles too. But it's just, you know, home is what I feel here. And I feel that with just as much in my personal life as I do with my musician life. So, yeah. So it's an awesome scene to be a part of. And it is important for me to stay connected with fans of the music and also fellow musicians and writers and stuff. I'm the lucky one. I get to discover all this amazing stuff.
I feel the same way. No, I think, two things, right? One, I love that you talk about how important it is for artists to stay connected with artists. Like, yes, stay connected with the people who listen to your music, because my God, you're not going to want to make it without those people.
Right.
But stay connected to other people who make music, because they're going to make you excited about making more music.
Yep.
Like,
exactly.
Selfishly, I get to talk to songwriters every week about songwriting for like an hour. That's the nerdiest, most wonderful thing ever, right? It's such a gift. And I'm so glad that there are people like you who are willing to take time out of your day to do it, because,
My gosh. Same. Thank you.
Yeah, it's such a gift. And I'm stoked for everyone who listens, because then you guys add to the conversation, and that just makes it better for all of us. But also, I am so grateful that you've always had that attitude, because that was something that inspired me when I started, was seeing it's, you know, those of us that are girls in the scene, there are always fewer girls than there are boys right now.
Yep.
I'm hoping that changes. So people, if you're listening and you're female and you want to make music, get out there.
Do it.
Yep. Glitter and I will be your cheerleaders. We're here for you.
That's right.
But it was so neat to see not only how you would tear up the stage with Carlos on Poor David's open mic, but how you would cheer on the other artists, because it did help to make it a community.
Thank you. And, you know, people, yeah. That was the most important part. It was giving people a platform to shine and to learn and to grow too, you know, so thanks. And that was a very special time. And I feel so fortunate that I kind of kicked that off there and got to pass the torch and everything that was. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. And it's great that you're doing what you're doing at Opening Bell with Songwriters in the Round. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am. Songwriters in the Round. I love this series. You know, Pascal of Opening Bell, when I moved back to Dallas in 2020, she was the only stage we could play during pandemic. So, I mean, it was amazing. We still had that platform. We still had that outlet. We were pretty safe, you know, and we were getting to support her business. And she's been such a strong support to so many artists. I was really honored. She came to me and said, I'd like to get Songwriters in the Round going again. Like, I think you'd be a good host for it. I was like, honored. Yes, let's go. So yeah, I was super stoked when she asked me. We kicked it off in, October 21, and we're about to come up on our year anniversary show. It'll be in October. So it's pretty awesome. So I get to book and scout talent for the round. We feature 2 to 3 songwriters each month, which you have been generous enough to be my guest host on a couple occasions when I have not been able to be on the stage, but I'm excited that we will finally be doing one together in January. So I'm really excited about that. And actually I have some other ladies in mind that I would like to put on that and make that a really powerful ladies round. So, but yes, that is so cool that I get to do that. I am just looking forward to many more years of getting to watch talent grace that stage and do that round. I don't think we don't really have a lot of that in Dallas other than with our songwriter associations. So for it to be more of a public kind of event for the music lovers as well, I'm just so stoked about it. I'm really glad we have that.
So for people who are listening, who are thinking, oh my gosh, you do this live? That's so cool. Where can I see this? Opening Bell Coffee once a month, and they can find all of that information, like when the Songwriters in the Round is happening, when you're bringing, who you're bringing, first of all, and then when it happens, Friday evenings, 7 p.m. at Opening Bell Coffee.
Yes.
And you usually post that information on multiple places, but one I know is your Instagram at Name is Glitter.
Yes,
and
for sure.
And on your website. Okay. At nameisglitter.com, right?
Yes, ma'am. Both of those places. So Instagram, really good spot. That's where I do most of my promotion. But nameisglitter.com, full calendar, ticket links, some music and stuff there too. But yeah, find all that info there. And yeah, it's usually the second Friday of the month. So yeah, come see us at that if you're wanting more songwriter juice.
Songwriter tea. Yeah, exactly. All the different things that us songwriters talk about. Also, you mentioned this earlier, but I want to bring it back. Pretend Love was the start of this project for you. It was the first song that you wrote after a drought. It was you stepping in more deeply into your authentic self, but it kicked off an entire EP. Can you talk a little bit about that and how people might be able to listen to the upcoming stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. This was Pretend Love was the volcano exploding. And then the few things that followed after were kind of that lava just rolling down, turning into gold. So a couple, a couple of the tunes on the EP I actually wrote right before moving back to Dallas, which is what kind of kicked off this project. And, I tried different writing processes with these songs too. I totally stepped out of my box. Like before I would sit down at the guitar, I was very methodical about how I was going to write. Every now and then something would kind of spur the moment. But this EP, in particular, one of the songs was just melody lyric, and music came later because I really wanted that melody to shine through. So took that in a different direction. Couple of the songs I wrote just after moving back to Dallas, of course, having lots of time on my hands, and feeling very Shut In wrote a couple tunes that kind of related to that as well. So you can kind of hear the timeline a little bit in some of the songs on the EP. But yeah, again, just writing wise, totally went out of the box, did different things I wouldn't normally do, use different chord progressions, sometimes changed up a lot of things that, and just rewrote all together, like scratch certain things, tried something new. So it was a really fun process. There's actually quite a few more tunes that, we've got in queue. That we just didn't put down on tape yet, but on tape, on digital zero and one. We haven't put it down on digital zeros and ones yet, but yeah, there's a good chunk of tunes, a few from right before I moved back to Dallas from Los Angeles, and then a good chunk from the first year I moved back. I've also got some new tunes that I just wrote this year that we've been rocking when the band shows. And, you know, one of them's kind of reggae. So that's, again, we're not really sticking into any, we're just doing what feels right and what feels good and just kind of rocking and rolling it. So the EP is going to come out November 11th. We'll have a single the week of Halloween coming out, another cool music video. So, but yeah, that'll be coming out in November. So you'll get the whole, and Pretend Love, and also our single Living in the Future, LITF. Those will both be on that EP too. So
that's awesome. So just to recap, you've got the full EP coming out. And if people want to hear more of the music than is going to be on the EP, if they want the sneak peek of what's coming down the pike, the best way for them to hear that is at the live shows.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we're back to live shows.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes. Live, I've got a couple of things coming up. I'm solo acoustic at White Rock Ale House and Brewery Friday the 16th. So this Friday, 7 o'clock. That's a free show. White Rock Ale House is kicking off their live music season. They have a great beer garden, really cool spot. I'm there solo acoustic. And then if you want to see me with the band, we'll be at All Good Cafe in Deep Ellum on October 8th. That's also a free show. Just RSVP on pre-Kindle. We are raising tips that night to go towards the EP release in November though. So anyone who comes out, if you can help us put that out there, we'll have a jar up front. But All Good, of course, legendary. We're super excited. It's our first show there. Good food, great drinks. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure. And because you're raising, it's a free show. People can go without paying anything. But
that's right.
If they want to pay, they could just pay what they would pay for a ticket straight into the tip jar and fund the next EP.
That's right. Yeah. It's totally just a little fundraiser. If you can, you can. If you can't, still come. Don't not come. Come eat great food and watch us play. But yeah, if you want to help us with our little push to put everything out in November, that would be amazing. But it's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, come on out.
Awesome. So yes, so come hit up All Good Cafe, White Rock Ale House, all these awesome shows coming up. And people should just show up always. Is what
yes.
I hear you saying. And
yes.
If they still feel like they don't have the funds, they can also just run Pretend Love over and over on Spotify.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Rack up those plays.
Please do that. Please do that. Yes.
And we're going to give them a sneak peek into what they'll be hearing right after this. But first of all, I just want to say thanks for coming on and for being
Thank
vulnerable
you.
And for all you do for the local music scene. It's been such a gift to be your friend all these years and to be inspired by you and to get to see what you're doing. So thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Emmeline. I feel the same way about you. I'm so glad that we're still doing things and evolving and helping other musicians and songwriters and just kicking butt. So thank you. And thanks for having me. This was really fun. It was cool to talk about. So I appreciate you.
Right back at you, friend. I am so inspired by all of the cool things you're doing and just grateful for your energy on the scene. It's always a gift.
Thank you.
People are get to. So we have one more thing left to do, which is let people listen to the fully produced version of Pretend Love. Would you like to introduce
Woo!
Yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This is the kickoff of Glitter. And this is the song Pretend Love.
Stop crying over me. I'm sorry, baby, but this is crazy. I'm all depressed and feeling guilty when I'm not doing nothing shady. I know you're mine, but I feel cheated, clearly defeated, and played the whole time. It's not really love if it's not enough to fill in the blanks where my heart is. And me and the fool has never been cool. That's what you get.
Thanks so much for joining me for this week's episode of Journey of a Song, featuring the effervescent Glitter and her new jam, Pretend Love. To learn more about Glitter or to follow her musical journey, visit her official website at nameisglitter.com. That's nameisglitter.com. For behind-the-scenes glimpses and more about Journey of a Song, follow me on Instagram at Emmeline Music. That's at E-M-M-E-L-I-N-E Music. Don't forget to check out my other podcast, Journey of an Artist, wherever you listen to podcasts. Journey of a Song airs Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Deep LM Radio, and each episode is available as a podcast the very next day. Discover new music and hear fascinating stories with me, Emmeline, every Friday on your favorite podcast app. If you're enjoying the show, please don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. This is only the beginning, and I don't want you to miss a single minute of these inspiring conversations. If a picture is worth a thousand words, a song is worth a thousand stories.